Our next public hearing is change of zone, I'm sorry, conditional use number 1785, David J. and Aaron E. Dukowski.
This is an application for conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 12 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 15.16 acres, more or less, lying the east of Mastiff Way, a private road, 800 feet north of the intersection of Sound Church Road, also known as Road 394A, and Sand Cove Road, also known as Road 394. For the benefit of the commission, I'm going to pass down copies of a revised site plan for this application. We did receive some comments from DLDOT. We advised that a traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level of service A of Sound Church Road will not change as a result of this application. We're also advised, or will advise the commission, that we did receive a copy of the Office of State Planning Coordination comments, and they are a part of the exhibit booklet that was provided by the applicant. And the exhibit booklet, for those that don't know, is a three-ring binder that was submitted to the commission's office on August 5th of 2009. And that contains a series of map surveys and plans, a concept sewer plan approval by the county engineering department, a copy of the PLUS preliminary land use service application form, a copy of the PLUS comments, a response to the PLUS letter, or response to PLUS, excuse me. And we also have letters from Tidewater Utilities, Artesian Water Company, Americana Bayside, the Sussex County Land Trust, and Environmental Resources Incorporated. And the applicant has also provided proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. Earlier today, about 3:30, we received a report from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Relating to this application, we're advised that the site is located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, that wastewater capacity is available for the project, that Ordinance 38 construction will be required, that the current system connection charge rate is $4,738 per equivalent dwelling unit, also referred to as EDU, that sewer service has not been extended to the parcel at this time, that conformity to the South Coast Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. But the project is within the boundary of the sewer district and connection to the sewer district is mandatory. That the proposed project is in a recent expansion area and sanitary sewer lines have not been extended to the parcel. However, the county does not have a set schedule to do so. That in order to receive sewer service, the developer at his expense will be required to construct gravity sewer and a transmission system, including a pump station, to serve the proposed project and several additional off-site parcels. The proposed project is within planning study and system design assumptions for sewer service. The engineering department has no objection to the proposed developments along a sewer service is in accordance with the sanitary sewer concept plan that was approved on July 22nd of this year. The county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county engineering department requirements and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point, and that all costs associated with extending the sewer service will be the sole responsibility of the developer, and that a concept plan is required. Gentlemen, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, so we thank you. Before we begin, is there anyone here with a particular interest in this application? If so, please feel free to get up and move around to take a closer look at the exhibits. There's one facing you over here. There's one facing us over here. Feel free to get up, take a look. All we ask is that you do so quietly and at the appropriate time. You'll certainly be given an opportunity to speak, and with that, the chair recognizes Ms. Hansen.
Good Thank you. Good evening, Commission members. My name is Stephanie Hanton, and I'm here tonight representing the applicant. The applicant is David and Aaron Dukowski. With me tonight also is Steve Soleil from Soleil and Associates. They are the engineers for the project, and Mr. Ed Linnae from Environmental Resources, Inc., who I think is probably familiar to many of you.
Ms. Hanson, did Mr. Soleil bring his passport with him this evening?
His passport with him?
Because he's a Marylander.
Tis true.
Well, he can send it over in the morning.
Okay.
All right.
I had to bring my bar number up here the first time. I should have warned you.
It's just the chair's way of messing around with people that he knows.
Well, at this time, I'd like to actually bring up Mr. Dukowski so he can talk with you a little bit, if that's all right.
Sure.
Can you please state your name and address for the commission?
David Dukowski, 37822 Fenwick Circle, Shelbyville, Delaware.
How long have you lived in the area?
About 20 years.
And do you or your wife or ex-wife currently live in the house on the property?
Yes, we do.
How long have you lived there?
About 20 years.
Okay, and what do you do?
I do construction, generally marine construction and general construction for the Shelbyville Ocean City area.
So you're a local building contractor?
That's correct.
Tell us what you'd like to do with the property.
We'd like to put 12 townhouses, and my ex-wife and I would like to each keep one and try to sell the rest.
Okay, and do you anticipate being the builder or developer of the project?
I'd like to be, yes.
All right, thank you very much. You can have a seat. As Mr. Dukowski mentioned, this is a 15.15 acre piece of land. This is actually two parcels. Together, it makes up a little over 15 acres. He's looking at perhaps doing 12 multifamily units. They would be 12 townhouses. However, they'd be managed under a condominium regime, which is what we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. It's currently zoned AR1 with an environmentally sensitive overlay district. I'd like to tell you a little bit about where the property is actually located, and that's we can see on this location map here. This is in the far southeastern section of Sussex County, very near Fenwick Island. Here is Route 54. The big orange that you see here is Americana Bayside. This is Sound Church Road, also I think now has recently been renamed to Sand Cove Road. And it kind of continues along here, and here is Mastiff Way. The development itself is these two parcels right here. It's sort of the hole in the donut. The reason that it's a different color is that the orange, this is the latest county's zoning map, the latest rendition. The orange is MRRPC for Americana Bayside, and AR1 is right in here. This is the property. As I'd mentioned, we're surrounded by Americana Bayside. I'm sure you're all very familiar with that. That's 1,700 units on about 850 acres or so. That's a mixture of single families, condominiums, townhouses. We believe that this particular type of development, which we're proposing, the 12 townhomes, is certainly in character with the surrounding community as it is surrounded by townhomes, condos, and single-family homes of Americana Bayside. I'd also would like to note that we're in the state strategies investment level 3 and 4. As the director has mentioned, we're in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. We do have public water for the property. This is a little bit strange in that Artesian currently has the CPCN for the property, but Tidewater has the CPCN for all the area surrounding the property. So we've talked with Artesian and we've talked with Tidewater. Artesian is willing to relinquish their CPCN. Tidewater has said that they would be willing to accept the CPCN, to go through the CPCN process to obtain the CPCN, and they're willing and able to serve this development. And we have correspondences from Artesian and Tidewater in your book. In order to keep the dwelling units as compact as possible and disturb as little of the natural areas as possible on the property, because the property does have considerable natural areas on it, that's why the developer is trying to keep the development as compact as possible. We're talking about two pods of townhouses managed under the condominium regime. Can we put up the site plan at this point, please? That's right. This is Mastiff Way that we were just seeing. Americana Bayside is on these three seasides here. Here are the two pods of townhouses. There are six in each. When we're talking about a managed under a condominium regime, that means the folks that move into this development will own their townhouse, but all of this surrounding area, the common areas and whatnot, are all going to be owned by the condominium itself. They will have 1/12 of an ownership interest in all of the lands that are there. There's no lots being created with this development, so there's not a subdivision going on. This will continue to be just one particular lot. We went through the PLUS process back in July of 2007. The original plan had called for 13 units. We've revised the plan down to 12 units and submitted comments to PLUS, and our comments and their comments and our responses to their comments and our application is all in your book as well. We've had to keep the number of units up because, as you will hear, the infrastructure costs, particularly sewer, bringing sewer to the area, is going to be quite expensive. So I think at this time what I'd like to do is bring the engineer up for the project, Mr. Soleil. Can you please state your name and occupation?
Stephen Soleil. I'm a professional engineer and registered in Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia. Address is 122 Arlington Road in Salisbury, Maryland.
And you did bring your CV for the commission tonight if they need it.
I did, if you'd like to have it.
We're fine. You're on the record as being a professional engineer, and you are known to the commission, so you're good to go.
Thank you.
There you go. Mr. Soleil, can you tell us a little bit about your discussions with Sussex County regarding the sewer?
Well, we've gone through the concept plan process with the Sussex County Engineering Department. We have a gravity sewer running from the northern pod to the southern pod.
Just press turn it over here. Other side. There you go.
And gravity sewer through here comes down there. See, this area right here is a 50 by 50 utility lot for an ordinance 238 pumping station. That pumping station will pump down to the intersection of Mastiff Way and Sound Cove Road to connect with existing gravity sewer at that point. Our connection point for the adjacent property owners, there's two parcels to the south.
Can this number of dwelling units be accommodated?
Yes.
Do we have an idea of an approximate cost?
I ran a rough estimate, and it's just the sewer loan, not the water. Just the sewer loan is going to be around $250,000 to $300,000 plus, depending on the bidding climate at that time.
In that case, it might be $150,000.
Could be. If we did it right now, it probably would be.
Well, you mentioned that was for the sewer only. Is there any additional for water as well?
There is a water main all the way going up to the these parcels here have the here and here are all the golf maintenance facilities for Bayside, the Bayside Golf Course, and there's a 10-inch water main coming along Mastiff Way, so connection costs for that will be fairly minimal compared to sewer.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the roads within the development and nearby Mastiff Way?
Well, Mastiff Way is a 15-foot paved roadway that goes from Sound Cove Road up to these maintenance facilities. It is actually outside of, this is a 50-foot access and egress easement that exists as a platted on the Bayside record plats. Mastiff Lane, going back to old plats and old aerials, it was obviously a farm lane of some sort, and they paved it over. It happens to be outside of the 50-foot easement. We've had discussions with Bayside. They don't have any, they have no objections to this road being approved, and from the northern entrance down to Sound Cove Road, which I believe is what DelDOT would require also in the county, to the intersection to a 24-foot State County Standard Road.
Okay, and I would like to mention, I think, Steve, you just mentioned, we did meet with the developer of Americana Bayside and their attorney to talk with them about access on Demastiff Way. They have, they recognize the Dukowski's easements on Demastiff Way and have said that they would be willing to work with us when it comes to upgrading Mastiff Way and whatever needs to happen. So they'll be with us should we get the conditional use approval. Has there been any communication with DLDOT?
Yes, I've got a copy of it here. Service level evaluation request in December of 07. I haven't seen a response from that. I don't know if Mr. Rank is aware of it or not. We do not have a copy if they have responded. But we talked with John Fiore at DLDOT, and he felt at 12 units it was not going to require a traffic impact study, and just the, as I've already discussed, the improvements of the road to 24 feet in width to county standards would be what would be required. And of course, the radii at the intersection coming into Sand Cove Road.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the forest that exists on the property. But we've talked before, this is about a 15-acre parcel or two parcels of land. About how many acres are wooded today?
Right now it's 8.56 acres.
And how many do we expect to remain wooded?
7.28, a little over an acre will be need to be cleared in the upland areas. The little bit darker green are the upland areas. On the light green is all wetlands. I guess I should have discussed, and I guess Ed Lene will, but the tidal wetlands are limited to the gut that comes up through here. We have a 50-foot setback line shown from those. The darker green is uplands, and the rest of it is non-tidal wetlands.
So let's get back to the forest, because we're going to
cover
wetlands a little bit more in detail and the buffers a little bit more in detail. But as far as the forest, so we've got about 8.5 acres of land of forested area right now. When we're finished development, it would be about 7.2 acres of land. So that's about an 85% preservation rate of the forest. Okay. For the total amount of open space on the property, including the forested wetlands, out of the 15.16 acres, is it true we have about 13.17 acres of open space?
Yes, that's correct.
And so when the development is fully when it is fully developed, it would be about 87% open space, correct? Okay. That's when maybe now we'll talk a little bit about the uplands and whatnot. On the property, can you show us where the you'd mentioned the uplands are?
The uplands are the dark green areas.
Okay. And the tidal versus non-tidal wetlands?
The tidal wetlands are just the main ditch, and Mr. Lene can address that, but the Corps did not take the side ditch. It's only the main ditch as tidal.
Okay. I'd also like to mention one of the comments that was in the PLUS application that from the Office of State Planning is that they had talked a lot about a conservation easement on most of the property, and the developer does not have, Mr. Dukowski doesn't have a problem with that. We've contacted the Sussex County Land Trust to see if they'd be open to discussions about being the holder of that easement, since they are the holder of the very large conservation easement surrounding the property with Americana Bayside, and they said that they would be willing to have discussions with us on continuing to be the easement holder here as well. If that doesn't work out for whatever reason, the Dukowskis are ready to put a note on the plan that says that the forested areas or the open areas cannot be developed and would be maintained by the condominium regime somehow. But they will be preserved and not developed any further. Are there any rare or endangered species on the property?
No.
How will stormwater management be handled?
Well, we're surrounded by wetlands, so we'll be using a bioretention facility with probably utilizing planted wetlands, created wetlands as treatment.
Okay. How about the buffering? What kind of buffering do we have?
Well, we have a 30-foot buffer on all sides. site plan that has been submitted.
Do we have 50-foot from the tidal wetlands?
Yes, we do. Those lines are on there in red.
Okay. How about from any perennial non-tidal streams?
There are none that I'm aware of other than the main tidal wetlands.
Okay. How about, what is our buffer from the non-tidal wetlands?
Well, it varies. There are, it goes down to, at this point, just under 5 feet. Other areas from the buildings, it's primarily, this site is a very tight area. And that is because we have kept a 30-foot buffer on this side. Now, the adjoining property is not currently active agriculture, even though it is zoned A1. People are living there, they use it purely as residential. We did prepare the site, which you know, you have seen, prepared an alternate site plan reducing that buffer to 10 feet on the south property line, and in order to increase the distance from the wetlands from that building pond, which brings it up to about 25 feet. It's property on the south does have a wooded strip approximately 40 feet wide that is currently in mature forest length there. So there is a buffer in existence now. Like I said, it is A1, but it is not active agriculture at this time.
Also, I'd like to mention to the commission, this is not a subdivision plan. As I said before, we're not subdividing any land. And the requirement for the 30-foot forested buffer may not be something that's even required on this kind of a plan. We provided it so that you could see that we can provide it, but we've also provided this alternate as well, particularly because of the tightness of the wetlands. So it can be, you know, we can move the townhouse pack, you know, within that area if we need to, or if the commission would think that would be more appropriate for us to do. In the plus comments, a comment that we heard over and over again from DENREC was that they wanted a 100-foot buffer. That's a fairly standard comment that you often have. They want a 100-foot buffer from all the wetlands. And so what we asked Steve to do is, if you could please show us what's developable with a 100-foot buffer, like DENREC had asked, what would be where's the developable area?
The crosshatched areas are the overlap of 100-foot buffers, which, as you can see, encompass all the uplands. So if you put a 100-foot buffer on all of the wetlands, there is no usable land on either parcel.
So could they even get the house on that they have right now?
No.
Because that's a house that the Dukowskis live in. Okay. Well, that's all I have at this point. You can have a seat. Quickly, I'd like to have Mr. Ed Linnae come up and talk with us a little bit about the wetlands, since they're so prominent on this property. Can you state your name and occupation?
I'm Edward Linnae. I'm the president of Environmental Resources Incorporated at 38173 DuPont Boulevard in Selbyville, Delaware. And I'm a professional wetland scientist and environmental consultant.
Can you tell us a little bit about the wetlands on this property and your interaction with the Army Corps?
We started looking at the property for the Dukowskis and Mr. Soleil back in early March. One of the reasons for that was to update the wetlands delineation, as the Corps of Engineers has a new formula that they've implemented for identification of regulated waters and wetlands. So we needed to take a fresh look at the property in terms of where the wetlands were located, and did that, and were able to look at groundwater, seasonal high groundwater tables and so forth and basically updated with the help of Mr. Soleil's survey team, the wetland boundary for the property. We scheduled a site visit with Mr. Ed Bonner, who's been assigned to this project as a biologist from the Philadelphia District Corps of Engineers. He visited the site, and we went through our preliminary findings as to the extent of wetlands and the wetlands boundary. And as a result of that site meeting, he left the meeting basically approving the plan that Mr. Slay and I had developed. Since that time, we've submitted a formal request for a written jurisdictional determination. And I guess speaking with Mr. Bonner yesterday, he's reviewed that information, and he's going to be taking a short vacation, and upon his return, we should receive a written jurisdictional determination approving the wetland boundary as shown on the on this site plan and the other site plans that Mr. Soleil has prepared. The other thing I mentioned that would be the limit of federal jurisdiction. The other thing that we did on the site plan, well, it probably is actually best on that site plan to actually show. We were going to show where the tidal wetland portion of the site is, and that's the area that's hatched in this kind of lighter gray here. And basically that boundary was placed on this plan from the official DENREC tidal wetland map that would cover this area. So that represents the tidal wetland boundary from which the county 50-foot buffer would be required. And that's shown by that line right here. The other feature on the site is this piece of ditch. There's a man-made ditch here. And I guess previously on the Americana Bayside project, portions of that ditch as it extends onto the Bayside project was designated as a subaqueous land by DENREC. So may not necessarily be a perennial stream, but there is some tidal wetlands and tidal influence, and they've DENREC has previously regulated it. So there is a 50-foot buffer shown on either side of that ditch. And you know, so I guess in my view, I think the buffering that's on the current site plan, you know, is appropriate and in accordance with the county code.
Well, we need an Army Corps permit of any kind or a DENREC permit?
Currently, there will be a wetland impact for I guess you could show that driveway. For this part of this driveway, there's would be some wetland encroachment. It would total about a tenth of an acre of wetlands impacts, and that could be authorized since the impacts are so small through the Corps' nationwide permit program process.
Thank you very much, Mr. Linnae. I'd just like to mention the density of the project is about 0.8. It favorably compares with Americana Bayside, which is a little over 2 or so dwelling units per acre surrounding it. Of course, that's MRRPC, and this is AR1. I would like to mention a couple of things, two things. In your proposed findings of fact and conditions, there's one condition in there I need to make a correction to. We've stated that there'll be no lot will contain any wetlands. There'll be minimal impact on wetlands, and no lot will contain any wetlands. As I mentioned to you, we're not creating any lots. We're creating condominium units, so it should not say no lot will contain any wetlands. It should say no condominium unit shall contain any wetlands. Clearly, this is a lot, and it's going to have wetlands on it because it's one big lot, so that wouldn't make any sense. Secondly, I've spoken with Vince Robertson about turning in a copy of the Declaration of Restrictions and whatnot. You may or may not be aware the state of Delaware has recently revamped what they want to see in declarations of restrictions and homeowners' documents and whatnot. There is a huge revision and rewriting of all those documents that's going on. Vince had mentioned that at least for now he didn't need to see a copy of the condominium documents. He could see them at some point prior to final plan. So that's why you do not have them in your exhibit book. At this point, that concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Hansen. The having been down to the site, there's the house that exists presently, that's going to be demolished?
Yes, it will be.
And that would be the house that would be just, I guess, to the north of, there's a small, like, what I'd call a farmstead house.
It's right here. This is the only house on the property.
All right.
There it is.
The, I wanted to ask you about the timing of a couple things. Number one, Mr. Lang, don't we have a 10-day rule on the submission of these booklets?
Normally.
And this book was received on August the 5th, 8 days ago?
That's correct.
Another timing thing is you went before PLUS in July of 2007. Your responses, am I correct, that they were August of 2009 to the PLUS comments?
Yes, you're correct.
By that, you would not had a response back from PLUS to your response, have you?
No, we have not.
The roadway to the units to the north, is that over uplands or is that on a wetland? The entrance off Mastiff, yes, sir.
There are wetlands within the right-of-way, just on the prison. So if there's a current farm lane into that side or a lane that somebody cut into many years ago, it's uplands. But it's not quite wide enough to hold the entire entrance road. So but some of the impacts that Mr. Lang was talking about are on the fringes of this road, as you can see.
That's what the Army Corps permit would be needed for.
Do you have, I believe that I heard you verbally represent that you're making progress with Carl M. Freeman Associates on a roadway agreement. Do you have anything to put in front of the commission on their letterhead that shows
No.
any progress or shows the any dates or times of your meetings, any agenda, anything?
Actually, no, I don't. I don't have anything from them on their letterhead. I can attest to you that we did meet, and I can get you something that we met, and they'd be willing to work with us. And if you would like something like that, I certainly can get that.
No.
We may have someone here from the Freeman community. I understood that perhaps Mr. Brown would be here tonight. He was at the meeting that we had this past January. So if he's in the audience tonight, perhaps he could come
forward. Just nod your head. Okay, we're good. We'll take your word for it.
Thank you.
But you came out of those meetings optimistic then?
Yes.
A roadway agreement.
Absolutely.
How about the issue of the conservation agreement?
Again, this is something that we haven't pursued until we thought we would be able to get the approval to do the use, but the applicant is certainly willing to continue discussions with the Sussex County Land Trust and work with them on the escrow amount to kind of see how much the escrow amount is going to be. I think that's really where the rub is going to be, is how much in escrow would he need to set aside versus can he just deed restrict it and have it not used. I mean, there are trade-offs associated with that, and then have the condominium regime take care of it. You know, we don't have anything other than a conversation and a documentation that I'd sent to the Conservation Sussex County Land Trust that we had the conversation, they'd be willing to work with us.
You had mentioned something early on about this being a condominium regime, thus stating no lots are being created and that the owners, the in-fee owners of those condos would have 1/12 ownership interest in any common elements.
Correct.
But then am I hearing you say the common elements will then be put into a trust?
They could be, yes. Yes, they could be. I'm not sure how the timing of that would work, but that's certainly something that we could do. I mean, there are condominium associations where Americana Bayside, I think, is probably a good example. They have their land in a land trust, but I think they have a number of pods of condominiums, so there are condominium associations there as well.
in the matter of the sites and talking about the respecting the county minimum of 50 foot, noticing on the site plan you've got a couple dumpster pads. Are they also outside the 50 foot?
Steve?
Yes.
They are. With the recommendation of plus being 100 foot, we're getting the minimum, the 50 foot, which is the county code on the wetlands as a buffer, correct?
Correct. On the, that's, well, I think in certain areas it was more than, it's more than 50, isn't that?
I mean, we showed 50 on the plan.
Mr. Soulea, I'm going to ask you to come up if you would, because the microphones won't pick you up. We need to have you on the record if you don't mind.
The 50 foot is shown on the plan, but the actual buffers from that are quite a bit more than that. I mean, as I said before, the red line is a 50 foot buffer on either side. And you can see there's quite a bit of distance from that to any development.
It, was that your question, Mr. Smith?
You were showing, you were giving us the 50 foot as required by code. We're getting the minimum. Are we getting the minimum plus 10% in any areas, or we've seen some?
This point right here is the closest. That is 50 foot. It's probably almost 100 feet to the closest point on that pot. And, of course, up here, it's a little bit further, that being 50 feet and distance paving. And that is a turnaround for fire equipment that was required by the fire department, by the way, because it's more than 300 feet down there. Anyway, from the title, it's on this side, it's very close to 100 feet, as is this side also. It might be slightly under 100 feet, but it's very close.
Mm-hmm. Was there the comp plan, I believe, in the environmentally sensitive overlay district calls for an environmental assessment impact study. Did you commission one, or do you have one to share with the commission at this time?
No, I mean, Mr. Lene has reviewed the site from an environmental standpoint. We do not have an impact study at this point, no.
That's all the questions I have at this time. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross?
The site is a fairly low-lying area. The roads, are they elevated or in any way? Are they at ground level or?
Well, I would assume in final design we would have to elevate them, put some fill in there to elevate them for proper drainage, yes.
And then will the prospective owners of the condominiums, will they have some kind of notice for evacuation in case of nor'easters, hurricanes, whatever, inclement weather? What kind of notice are you going to give the future owners that, you know, they're in an area that is perhaps prone to flooding, especially evacuation.
Well, I'm sure that's be something that we could put in the condominium documents that they would have when they moved in, as far as notice of an impending storm or impending flood. I don't know that we have anything planned for that. I'm not quite sure how to address that, other than, you know, they would, I don't need to listen to the radio. I'm not quite sure. If you have any thoughts as to how we could address that, we certainly will.
The commission and the council in the past has required some projects to meet with all the safety officials, the fire company, the police, et cetera, to establish an evacuation plan for a project and to make that a condition of the approval, and you submit that as one of your documents if you get the approval at the time of a preliminary and final site plan approval.
Thank you.
Right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Burton.
The road, the private road that's the easement is on one side and the road's on the other side. Are you planning on going into the easement side or leaving where the road is?
We're planning on widening the road on its current footprint.
Okay, and you'd have to, I guess, go into the easement.
Not necessarily. I mean, we could widen it. There are some wetlands, as you can see, in the easement, so it's preferable to go the other way.
Okay. And then when you cross the wetlands up there on the far north one, is that fill? Are you filling that, bridging it? What are you doing?
Well, there will be fill in there. I'm sure we're going to have to elevate the road somewhat to drain it properly.
Okay.
But we have some impacts there, you know, on the wetlands right on each edge of the road.
Okay. The... The wastewater explain to me again how you're going to treat the water, how you're going to run stormwater.
Well, I mean, as I said, the road's going to be elevated, as are the building pad. Obviously, we have to meet FEMA requirements, so that's going to be up there. So we will drain it. Say in this area, we'll be draining to an area of uplands up here and creating a bioretention facility, created wetlands that then discharges probably into one of those ditches. Same here, we'll come in this area and put in a stormwater management facility, a bioretention facility that drains into the wetlands. Because this goes up a little into here that we can drain.
Okay, but if you go with the other plan, the one that there's a 30 foot on this side and none on the other side, aren't you going to be pressing into that buffer zone there?
We have the area here and the area here. We'll obviously stay out of the public, but we have more than adequate room for a bioretention facility, which is obviously suited to this site.
Right. What is the distance between the wetlands on that plan and the back of those buildings?
Well, the tightest is right here.
All right, so Mr. Lang?
Get back to the area that needs to be filled on the north side for the north six units. Have you had conversation enough with the Corps to establish whether it could be filled or could it be bridged on portion of that?
Okay.
Discuss
that with Mr. Bond. Okay.
Since, I guess, looking at the cost of bridging, on that situation, and the other thing would be that road through that section of wetlands is going to need to be elevated more to the existing elevation of Mastiff Way. So there'd be, I'd say, at least 2 to 3 feet of fill to raise that portion of the road from Mastiff Way to where the development is going to occur. If you tried to bridge, you know, because you would be so low to the ground, the effect of bridging versus, you know, putting in fill, I think from an environmental perspective, would be about the same. And I don't think the cost would really justify it. If that area of impact is going to be about a tenth of an acre, which I mentioned would be covered under one of the core nationwide permits, that's a permit that already exists, and essentially the core looks at your project and verifies, and it may ask for some special conditions or possibly some type of mitigation for the activity. But that's generally a pretty routine approval to obtain for that level of impact.
Okay, my other question would be, how is Mastiff Way improved now?
How is it now? It's a 15-foot paved.
So you're basically going to be adding an additional 5 or 7 feet to bring that up to standard.
9 feet.
9, okay.
24 feet.
All right, that's all I have.
All right, sir, thank you. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Burrow?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Well, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1785, David J. and Aaron E. Dukowski? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to
to conditional use number 1785. Does anyone on the commission have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. Mr. Smith. Could we be told, what do you plan for the height of the units and the square footage of the units that you're going to be hoping to build?
I'm sorry, Mr. Sully, I have to ask you to come up. We don't have a roving microphone. It's maybe something we should consider.
Probably, typically they'd be three-story, height of approximately 40 feet.
And the square footage?
In a situation like this with the surrounding area and the quality of homes in Bayside, I would assume they'd be in the 2,000 to 3,000 square foot, not including your garage space. Possibly larger, I don't know. That's obviously architectural design has not been done.
But wouldn't the square footage of the units have some bearing on the site plan that we're looking at insofar as length and width, so the buildable footprint?
Well, they do.
They do.
And those footprints will accommodate that size. Mm-hmm. They could shrink, but they won't get larger.
I noticed you indicate through the plus comments responses you shrunk the project from 13 units down to 12. Was there any magic number as to why 12 was settled on? Or?
No, I mean, we just looked at the site. We looked at the wetlands and discussing it with plus. Originally, we started with 15, so taking a look at that. I mean, that was the max we could fit on there and still stay out of the wetlands and the like. And we shrunk down to 12. And in response to the plus comments, we reduced it. One unit.
Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else? All right, then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.